If you remember the gospel last weekend, you might remember that the Lord Jesus gave the apostle Peter some very high praise and some great authority. He really honored Peter. He told Peter that it was God the Father himself who revealed to him that Jesus was the Messiah. And he gave Peter a new name, called him Rock. He was called Simon before that. And he gave him the keys of the kingdom of heaven. That was last week. This weekend, the gospel says something quite different. Things look very different when Peter expresses his opposition to Jesus' way of saving us by his suffering, death, and resurrection. Jesus turns and says to him, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an obstacle to me." This is such a dramatically different way of speaking that it makes us wonder what's going on. In one moment, Jesus is Rock, and in the next moment, he's Satan. How are we supposed to understand this? Well, it can't be that Jesus suddenly changed his opinion of Peter. That can't be. He loves Peter. He has a great plan for him. He believes that Peter is capable of great things. But he will not accept Peter's errors, and he will not let Peter get in the way of his saving mission. That's why he tells him, "Get behind me." It's like telling him, "I'm the leader here. You either follow me or get out of the way. Get behind me." Now, since it's not Jesus who changes, it must be Peter. And that's exactly what happens. When Peter listens to the inspiration of the Father and courageously announces that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God, well, he's right. He's correct. That's what we heard last Sunday. And his proclamation of the identity of Jesus is solid rock. It's absolutely trustworthy. But when Peter listens instead to his own fallen nature, when he listens to his fear of suffering, when he listens to his own pride, his own preferences, his own attachments, then he is no longer correct, and he can no longer be trusted as a faithful instrument of God. In fact, he can be easily deceived by Satan, and he can stand as an obstacle rather than as a bridge. So this change in Peter is what's striking to me, and I think is a good thing to study, because it's a valuable thing to be able to identify what happened to him, because this is what we do. We're all like Peter. In one moment, we can be praying, we can be serving, we can be sacrificing, expressing love for God and love for neighbor, and we fully agree with whatever God is doing in our life. And then in the next moment, we're complaining and judging and putting ourselves first and interfering with God's good plans. We're so quick to think that God is not doing things right, that he's in the wrong, and that we know better how he should go about saving us. Just like Peter, who heard the message from Jesus about his saving mission, and he said, no, that should never happen. You should never suffer and die. The message of the cross, after all, really does go against our grain. It's very hard for us to accept it. It's easy for us to shift our way of thinking. Either our way of thinking is based on God's way of thinking, or it's merely a human way of thinking. Or maybe in our worst moments, we're not thinking at all. We're simply acting like animals, following whatever impulse moves us. But for now, let's just focus on thinking, either divine thinking or human thinking. Jesus is the one who points out the sudden shift in Peter. Before, your thinking was led by the Father in heaven, but now you are thinking not as God does, but as human beings do. In other words, there are these two ways of thinking. There's the way God thinks and the way human beings do, and they're not the same. They're very different. And then Jesus adds right away a further instruction, an essential aspect of God's way of thinking, and that is the mysterious place of the cross in the life of disciples. He puts it very clearly in this gospel. After saying that he himself will suffer, die, and rise again, then he says that anyone who wishes to be one of his disciples must also suffer. Whoever wishes to come after me, he says, must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And that just goes against our human way of thinking. It's a bitter pill to swallow, which is one of the reasons why people abandon their faith, because they can't accept the message of the cross. It just doesn't come naturally to us to deny ourselves, and we don't see any reason to take up any cross or face any degree of suffering. If we can avoid it, we will. But then, how can we be disciples of Jesus Christ if we can't at least accept the idea that there may be a purpose for the cross in our lives? Well, we can't be his disciples unless we can change our minds. And we can't just change our minds. We can't make ourselves think differently. The change has to take place by submitting to the power of God at work in us, by the grace of God at work in us, which can enlighten us and can change our minds, can change us from within. St. Paul speaks about this in today's second reading, his selection from his letter to the Romans. He says this: do not conform yourselves to this age, that is, natural human way of thinking. Do not conform yourselves to this age, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. So a different way of thinking, a renewed mind, that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and pleasing and perfect. Well, what's good and pleasing and perfect according to this age, according to our natural thinking? Well, it's good and pleasing and perfect to have plenty of money, to have plenty of possessions, to have freedom from suffering, to be secure and popular and have all the pleasure and power and good health for a long time. That's what we think is necessary. And if we have all those things, well, then we'll be happy. And if we're lacking any of those earthly blessings, well, then we think we can't really be happy. That's how human beings think. That's how we naturally think. But as disciples of Jesus, we think differently. Not merely naturally, but supernaturally. This is part of the gift of faith. One way to get a better understanding of this higher, this new, this transformed way of thinking is to reflect on how people in heaven think. What's important to people who are in heaven? In heaven, they don't have any money, and they don't care. They don't have any possessions, and they don't care. They don't even have bodies, except for Jesus and Mary, of course. So they can't be focused on satisfying any sensual pleasures, at least not in the way we think of it. They're not thinking about avoiding suffering the way we think about it. And they're, for the most part, forgotten by the world. They're not famous, they're not popular. And if they are remembered at all, they're thought of as people who lived a long time ago or lost in the past. And yet, these people in heaven that we're talking about are supremely happy, with a joy that surpasses anything we can even imagine on earth. But to get to that condition of perfect, lasting, ultimately satisfying joy, any price would be worth paying, right? To get to that kind of perfection would be worth any price. Even poverty? Yes. Even suffering? Yes. Even death? Yes. Jesus says this explicitly. What profit would there be for one to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? The answer is no profit. No worldly advantage is worth anything compared to the life that God has in mind for us. For the great gift of life, fullness of life, eternal life, joyful life forever, it's worth denying ourselves. It's worth taking up our cross and following Jesus. In fact, it's a joy for us to do so. This is part of the paradox of the Christian life. We're called to take up our cross and rejoice to follow him. We're not happy about suffering for its own sake. That would be sadistic, masochistic. But we do rejoice to know and to follow the way that leads to the fullness of life. That's the best way to live. It's our joy as children of God, as missionary disciples of Jesus Christ, to know what is the will of God, to know what is good and pleasing and perfect. Most people don't know the will of God, and they don't know what's truly good and pleasing and perfect. So let us not settle for thinking the way human beings do. Let us welcome God's way of thinking revealed to us by Jesus Christ.